Hello, and welcome to Monumental, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and big thinkers making monumental change. Here's your host, Evan Holliday.
Welcome to Monumental. I'm your host, Evan Holliday, and today on the show, we have on Rachel Richards. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm great, Evan. How are you?
Yes, doing very well. So like we were just talking about, a mutual friend of ours, Gil Holland, introduced us, and he's actually one of the first three episodes on the show. So I'm really excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So a little bit about Rachel before we get started. She's only 27 years old, a former financial advisor, and she has made a name for herself in the personal finance realm. In 2019, Rachel quit her job and retired on over $10,000 per month in passive income. She is a best-selling author of Money Honey and Passive Income Aggressive Retirement. I love the titles of those books. She's been featured on The Penny Hoarder and New York Times and has been contracted to speak at colleges. She's also a real estate investor with 35 rental units, and her valuable money lessons have helped thousands of millennials work their way out of financial despair. And she has successfully done what no one has done before, made the topic of money management fun, entertaining, and simple. And she's based in Louisville, Kentucky with her husband and dog. So how about you give us just our listeners a little bit of background on yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So I've lived in Louisville for most of my life. When I was a senior in high school, I was sort of terrified of taking out student loans because I had kind of self-educated myself on finance and money management, and I didn't want to go into a ton of debt. So my journey really probably started there, where I started taking money very seriously and trying to find a job that would help me pay through school. So I started selling Cutco cutlery. My parents were not happy when I was deciding I was going to sell sharp objects to their family and friends, but that's what I did. And I did sell Cutco, and I graduated debt-free from Center College in Danville, Kentucky. So that was a really cool achievement for me. And with my sales experience and my passion for finance, I figured I should be a financial advisor. So that is the first job that I took out of college. And I loved helping people in that job, but it was so, I didn't realize how much focus there was on sales and cold calling. And although I could be good at it, it just didn't come naturally to me, and it's not really where I saw myself going for the rest of my life. So I did eventually transition out of that, and for the last 3 years, I've been working as a finance analyst at a global manufacturing corporation. So somewhere in that time frame, I've always been that go-to person that my family and friends would come to for financial advice. And I began wondering, you know, I wonder why they're not reading books or learning on websites or blogs. Then I realized that not everyone is like a super dorky finance nerd like I am. Most of the finance books out there are dull, you know, boring, complex. It's not stuff that people really enjoy reading. So my first book, Money Honey, I kind of thought, you know, how can I make this topic fun and sassy and humorous and really simple to learn about? So that's where the idea came along. And I published that while I was still working full-time. And then I just published my second book, Passive Income, Aggressive Retirement.
So what inspired you to write a book, and how did you hold yourself accountable to get that done?
Yeah, so it was really the situation where I saw a market need. I was like, there's no book that exists that's just fun and easy, like an easy way to learn about money. And, you know, all my female millennial friends were coming to me asking me, hey, how does this work? You know, how do I buy a stock? What do I invest in? So I really saw, like, I feel like our millennials are misjudged and mislabeled a little bit as being sort of entitled and lazy. And, you know, I do think you'll find those people in every generation. But what I have seen when it comes to my friends is that they all want to learn about finance. Like, they don't feel comfortable not understanding how to manage their money. So they're very eager to learn. And I wanted to create a resource that would help them get to that point.
So walk me through, what was it like writing a book, your first book, and also, I guess, also doing it at, like, moonlighting at your full-time job. What was it like doing that and getting it published?
Yeah, I always had this dream of writing a book, but I never, you know, took it very seriously because I never knew how. I mean, how would I possibly go about getting published? I read this book called Published by Chandler Bolt, and I read that book in January 2017. The book's amazing. It was just this really in-depth guide of here's how to come up with an awesome idea, outline, write it, and then here's how to self-publish it and have a super successful book launch. So once I read that, I was thinking, oh, well, here I go. I have all the tools that I need. Now I know how to do this process. So that's when I put pen to paper. I started writing Money Honey in January 2017. It was around my full-time job. So I was doing a lot of it in the early mornings, evenings, weekends. And then I published and launched it in September 2019. So it took, the whole thing took me about 9 months, but I probably could have done that a lot faster.
That's impressive for your first book to be able to turn it around like that and while you're moonlighting.
Thanks.
So how were you able to, like, walk me through the successful launch? Like you said, like you've gotten a lot of traction with this book, I understand. And mm-hmm. and so how can let's say our listeners wanted to do the same thing. What advice would you have for them?
Oh, for sure. So I can outline some of the launch strategies. It's really cool because Money Honey has been so much more successful than I ever thought. And it's really resonated with female millennials. And I think right now I have over 450 five-star reviews.
Wow.
So some of the tactics that I learned from Chandler Bolt's book, he talks about forming a launch team. And he talks about when you're writing your first book and you don't have a following, you should take advantage of this free launch. So I decided to go down the self-publishing route because I wanted to keep more control. I wanted to keep more royalties. I didn't want to have to bother with trying to find a traditional publishing deal. So I did self-publishing. I formed a launch group, and basically a launch group is a team of people who are really committed and invested in the success of your book and want to help you make it a success. So I started sharing things on social media. And I would join Facebook groups, and I would, if anyone ever had a finance question, I would be typing up super well thought out, like really helpful answers. And after a while in those Facebook groups, people would start tagging me in posts, and they'd be like, you need to ask Rachel Richards about this. So after I sort of started to gain that credibility. And then when I came up with a book idea, I was going back to these Facebook groups and I was like, hey, what do you guys think of this? Is this a good idea? And they were like, yes, you should absolutely do this. I want to read this book. So I got all of these people invested in the success of my book, and they would help me pick out the title. And I would do a contest to pick out the book cover. So by the time I was launching it, they had all helped me so much that they wanted it to be successful. And it's not like I formed a specific separate launch group. It's just that I was doing a good job getting all these different people on social media to want to support me. Yeah. So that's a little bit about a launch group. And then another thing I learned in Chandler's book is your launch strategy. So he takes you through a few different strategies. But like I said, the free launch is something that, as a first-time author with no following, you know, I just wanted to get my book into as many hands as possible. And when you can gain enough momentum during doing a free launch, which Amazon allows you to do, then you can switch it over to, you know, 99 cents and then increase it by a dollar each week. And that initial momentum will really help you maintain the long-term success. So that's what I did. I'm really happy I did it that way. And then for my second book, Passive Income, Aggressive Retirement, since I now do have a platform and a following, I did the launch a little bit different, but still had a launch team, still did a lot of the same things.
That's really cool. And I'm sure having that book and having that, you know, free or very low price way to add value to a lot of people has also in turn had a huge impact on your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great. It's so humbling to get an email from somebody and just saying, thank you for writing this book. You've changed my life. And for me, I mean, I was super scared to launch my first book, Money Honey, because it's a very vulnerable thing, putting your creative work out there for other people to judge and see. There was a point where I just didn't want to go through with it. But at the end of the day, I convinced myself to publish it by just telling myself, if I just help one person, it'll be worth it to me.
Yeah, that's the 0 to 1 idea of saying, you know, hey, just one person, if you can shift the mindset, if you can help one person, then everything you're doing is going to have an impact. And you're going to shift the lens or the life of at least one person. And that's all you need really to call something a success.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the reason I decided, you know, I was fine with the free launch. I think if I had written my first book purely out of financial gain, people would really have seen right through that and it would not have been nearly as successful. So I would encourage anyone listening, you know, if this is something you want to do it for the right reasons.
So as far as being able to make that transition over from working full-time to now working on your own, being a published author, growing your platform, growing your passive income, what was that transition like and how did you make that decision?
Yeah, so I love the topic of passive income. It's my favorite thing to talk about. I first heard the term passive income a few years ago. And passive income is basically money that is earned with little to no ongoing work. So as an example, J.K. Rowling wrote her Harry Potter books 25 years ago, did all the work then, and she's still making hundreds of thousands of dollars today for something she did decades ago. So that's an example of passive income. Another one that we've all heard of is rental income. So landlords that have rental properties are making passive income from their rentals. So once I started learning about this concept, I got really excited and I had this epiphany because once your passive income exceeds your expenses, you're retired and retired in the sense of being financially independent. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, that seems a lot easier to achieve than trying to save up some, you know, $2 million nest egg to live off of when I'm 65. I was like, why don't I just build up like $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 of passive income per month and then I'm retired. And at the time that I sort of started putting all this together, my husband and I were already invested in rental properties. So we were already doing real estate investing. I had just launched Money Honey and I was making royalties. At that point, I decided, let's research and figure out all the different types of passive income and see which ones we can implement. So we just started buying more rental properties. We looked into a couple things. And I think it was in 2018 that I fully replaced my full-time salary, and what was then able to, I would have been able to quit, but it actually took me a year to actually go through with quitting. It's one of those things that was just really hard to do, and I knew it was going to be hard to do, but I was really fortunate to have a lucrative career, a great team that I was working on, and to walk away from that, you know, corporate success story is really difficult, but I finally got the courage last year to finally quit my full-time job. So in August of 2019, I quit and now I'm fully retired.
Wow. Congratulations, first off. And secondly, as far as like that process in your head of like, you know, and maybe conversations you were having with your husband of, you know, what does that look like afterward and what are our goals or why am I leaving? Could you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, something, you know, my husband and I always talk about our top three values. And for us, and they're different for everybody, but for us, our values are health, family, and freedom. I think it's so important to get really clear on your values and look at the things you're doing in your life to make sure you're living in complete alignment with your values. That's something that Hal Elrod has really influenced me on. He's the author of The Miracle Morning. So Andrew and I, we've always wanted to have this life of freedom and flexibility, and we felt very trapped by working in a corporate job where A, we had to put in a specific number of hours each week, and B, we had to be at a physical location. You know, we love to travel. We want to go places. We want to live in different states. We want to work when and if we want to. So once we started having these conversations and we knew we were on the same page, it's been a goal for us for a long time now to get out of the corporate ladder and to be out on our own. So then it was just a matter of how are we going to get there and kind of putting those puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. And I love that you started with the very first thing you said, your values together as a family unit and your top three, and making decisions based on those values and based on alignment with those values. And I think a lot of people don't take enough time to even think about what their values are or what their principles are or what they care about in life. So what advice would you have for our listeners as far as like making sure they are setting out their own values and getting crystal clear on that?
Yeah, I love that question. My husband did an exercise recently that was amazing. So, you know, the first thing is to have the conversation. Make sure you're communicating about this with either your partner or just if you don't, you know, you're not married, whatever, you're single, like write these things down in a journal. Make sure you're clear with yourself on what you want out of life. So Andrew and I have the same values: health, family, freedom. We've gotten to a point where, you know, life is very chaotic. We're all very busy. It's like, how do we find more time out of the day to do the things that we really enjoy? So the activity that we did is we basically wrote down a list of every single thing we spent our time on. So whether it was my books or our real estate or working out or meal prepping or meditation, all the different things we would ever do in a day. And then we listed out our values in columns, and we basically put a check mark next to each activity if it met that value. So if watching TV basically met none of our values, then that's something that we would consider eliminating or reducing our time on. And actually that's actually what came out of it was the main thing that we did is we decided to do an experiment and completely cut out TV for a month. And that has been literally life-changing because we have filled that time with quality time and conversations and reading and learning and the things that are actually in alignment with our values. So I love that activity. I think it can be super eye-opening.
That's really cool. So you guys pretty much just said for the next 30 days, no TV.
Yeah, and we're still doing it. It's all of January. Well, we started a little bit early, but we were like, we're not going to do this anymore. So let's figure out, you know, at the hour at the end of each day where we were watching TV, what are we going to do instead? Yeah. And we filled that with quality time with one another. So it's not only made our days more enjoyable, but it's brought us closer together too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I love, it sounds like a very simple thing that anybody can do of getting clear on your values, understanding what you stand for. And, you know, if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, Google has a great list of potential values and getting clear on your three or whatever number it is. And then making columns for that. I think that's a really easy to digest activity that everybody can do and can make that switch where you visibly see. And if you're visual like I am, you can literally see, be like, oh, look, TV meets none of the three values we stand for. Why are we still doing this?
Exactly. Those are the exact questions that we were asking ourselves. So it's probably an activity that we'll revisit once or twice a year just to make sure we're still living in alignment with our values.
Yes, I love that so much. And so you can make monumental, massive change aligning with those values. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
And as far as going into, you know, making sure you're in alignment with your values of you know, goals that you're setting or targets that you have, how do you go about goal setting or setting out what you want to accomplish?
Yeah. A mentor I'm working with, Anna Ray Corder, she's amazing. She has introduced me to a couple tools that have really changed how I am setting my goals and managing my time. And I'm just so excited about them. So the first thing that she introduced me to is the bullet journal. Have you heard of bullet journaling?
I have.
Okay. I feel like they've gotten a funny reputation because when I thought of bullet journaling, I thought of, you know, the people that made all those fancy spreads and they would do all this fancy artwork and their journal pages would be beautiful and laid out. And that's not really what bullet journaling is. It's really more a customizable way to track your schedule and to track your tasks and to prioritize. So my bullet journal is the basics. There's nothing fancy in it. It's just lists of things and bullets basically. It's really, really cool. The other thing that Honoré Ray introduced me to is this book called The 12-Week Year. Have you heard of that one?
I have. I have not read it, though.
It's really cool. It talks about getting more done in one quarter than most people would in a year. So it views each quarter as its own year. So there's 12 weeks in a quarter. That's kind of, so each week is a month. And then each day is kind of like a week. So you kind of plan out your goals quarterly and you have this scoring method to hold yourself accountable. But it's like an awesome way to break down goals into really manageable bite-sized pieces. So every week, you know what you have to do. Every day, you know what tiny thing you have to do to make progress towards your goal that week and that quarter.
That's really cool. And how are you keeping yourself accountable to your goals and making sure you're still moving forward if you have a bad day or something throws you off and sets you back?
I would say two things. First, accountability buddies are super important. It's so much easier to hold yourself to something when you know, oh, I have to check in with this person at the end of the week. And if I didn't do all the things I said I was going to do, you know, maybe I'll feel embarrassed about myself or maybe I'll just kick myself. So when you know that you're going to be meeting with somebody to review how you're doing, that can help you with that motivation. The other thing that is still extremely challenging for me because I'm a perfectionist is you're not going to be perfect. So even though you have these important things every day that you want to do, there are going to be some days that you don't get any of them done or that you do everything but one, and that's okay. So part of the 12-week year, the reason I like it is because they basically say if you get an 85%, so if you do 85% of the things that you said you were going to do, then you are on track to meet your goal no matter what. And that is a lot better for me because I can be forgiving of myself. So if I miss a day where I was supposed to do a workout this day, well, guess what? I can still meet my 85%, no problem.
Yeah, that's a great point because I do that myself. I beat myself up when I don't get 100% of a goal. And I have to remind myself, it's like, hey, wait a second. Like just the fact that I'm moving the needle closer to my goal and I'm actually taking, you know, 9 out of 10 steps. I may have missed that last step, but I'm literally moving leaps and bounds more than I had been had I not even set that goal or if I had set a lower goal. So I think that's good for our listeners to remember to not beat yourself up if you miss a day or something comes up, but remember that you can use that as a learning or a tool to help get better in the future.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just way too hard on myself. So it's something I'm still kind of working on is saying, okay, if I wasn't perfect, it's not the end of the world. I'm still doing amazing.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Janed, you know, helps correct me sometimes because I beat myself up if I don't get anything accomplished by noon or something. You know, I'm very much have that achiever mindset and I'm like, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. And realize sometimes you have to step back, you have to breathe, just be like, hey, this is it. This is what I'm working on right now. Be in the moment and take it one step at a time.
Yes, I love that. I know people sometimes think of their like words of the year or whatever. Mine is presence this year. So it's like, stop getting so caught up in all the things I have to do and beating myself up if I'm not perfect. And just like you said, take a step back and be present in the moment and be intentional and grateful for everything that's going on.
Yeah, I love it. So what, it sounds like you have mentors and you have, you're constantly reading and you're really trying to work on your personal development. And what kind of advice would you have for our listeners that, you know, are wanting to become an expert on a certain subject or make themselves better or just invest in themselves?
Oh, I love that you asked me this. This is such good timing. I'm on such a personal growth kick right now. One thing that I loved when I was selling Cutco is that we would have these conferences every year and we would go to these conferences and we would learn and we'd hear these awesome speakers and we would get motivated and we learned how to manage our money and how to manage our goals. And it wasn't just about selling knives. It was all of these really cool personal growth tools. And I remember coming out of those conferences feeling so energized and inspired and just ready to make massive changes. After I, you know, stopped selling knives in college and went into a normal, you know, corporate job, I was missing out on all that because most companies don't have those opportunities for you.
Right.
So it took me a while to kind of think back and say, you know, I haven't been to a conference like that. I haven't done anything that has helped me really grow or learn as a person. So how can I start investing in myself again? And as somebody that is extremely frugal, that is very hard to wrap my mind around because I'm a very results-driven person. I'm like, if I spend $1,000, what's my ROI on that? And that's not something you can always measure when it comes to personal growth and mental health and everything. Right. So it took me a while to kind of realize, okay, for me to grow and become the best version of myself and for my business to grow, I have to invest in myself one way or another. So in December, I just went to my first conference that I paid for by myself. I went to the Best Year Ever Blueprint by Hal Elrod and John Berghoff. It was absolutely life-changing, and that's what kind of started me on this whole personal growth kick. And I have to say, I'm in such a good place. I'm really looking out for myself and my mental health. I'm making sure I'm starting every day intentionally and with a positive mindset. And I really think that those things come first. You can't have a successful business and grow your platform until you are taking care of yourself. You should be the number one priority at all times. That's why my values are listed in that order. Number one, health. Number two, family. And number three, freedom.
Yes. Yes. I love all of it. So do you do the Miracle Morning, the Hal Elrod Miracle Morning?
I do. Yes.
So when did you implement that, and how has that impacted your life?
The Miracle Morning, the reason I love it is because when I started thinking about how am I starting my day, normally I was starting my day by rolling over and looking at my phone and immediately checking emails, checking text messages, checking social media, and then get out of bed, you know, get ready for the day, whatever. There wasn't any sort of mental preparation for my day. And once I started thinking about it, I realized you really have to start your day intentionally. So how do you start your day intentionally? It's with a morning routine. So Hal talks about all this stuff in his book, and he's amazing. I'm obviously a huge fan of him. But his Miracle
Likewise.
Morning book, yeah. His Miracle Morning book is definitely life-changing. It talks about, here's how to start your day with a positive mindset so that you are entering your day with this attitude of gratitude and peace and joy. And, you know, some of the things that I do on a regular basis in the morning is I'll do reading. So whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I'll read. I'll do meditation. So I'll do at least 10 minutes of meditation. I will sometimes do journaling where I write down, you know, things I'm looking forward to today or things that I'm grateful for. And then I'll do affirmations. So a big one for me right now, this is kind of funny. I sprained my ankle a few months ago and it's still not healing. It was like a really bad sprain. And I had been just beating myself up and I was just hating on my ankle for so long. So one of my affirmations right now is like complimenting my ankle. I'm like, I love you, ankle. Thank you for being strong and for healing, and you're going to be stronger than you ever were. And I know it sounds so silly, but honestly, you can change, you can influence your physical health with your mental health. That's truly my belief. So having the right mindset, even about the weirdest things that are going on in your life, I think can be extremely influential.
Yes. I love it. And I couldn't agree more with the mental health affects the physical health. It is amazing what your mindset can do as far as helping yourself get out of a cold. Even, you know, it's crazy. Like I had a mini cold this past week. I was like, you're not sick, Evan. Like, you know, snap out of it. Like, you know, you're healthy, you're happy, you're full of energy, you're full of life, and you help your body get stronger by having that mental toughness. And it's same, you know, it's same with any problem you face or overcome in life or in business. It's like if you have that mentality of like, hey, we can overcome this, we can get better, we can grow. If you have that mentality and that never give up mentality, then it really has a ripple effect on your whole life.
Oh, I totally agree. Your attitude is the most important thing.
Yes. Well, it sounds like, honestly, it sounds like you are packaging that and you're putting that into your books and helping educate people with, you know, financial literacy and financial freedom education to help people take their next step in their life to basically, if they can figure out their finances, then they can also have more time and more freedom and more energy to devote to things they love and making massive change in the world.
Right. The thing is, you know, we all have dreams. We all have things on our bucket list, think where we see our life ending up. We have these big dreams, and there's almost always a financial aspect in order to achieve your dreams. Whether your dream is to retire and sit on the beach or to travel the world or to start a nonprofit, you have to be financially independent to achieve those dreams. So I like to think of myself as somebody that can empower people to achieve their dreams. And it all starts with managing your finances and being very intentional about where your money is going.
Yes, I love that. And you're helping empower and helping people believe in their dreams by helping them figure out the finance aspect of it. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I love everything you're doing. I feel like we could keep going on and on. But let's jump into our monumental questions.
Awesome.
So what does success mean to you?
That is a powerful question. I have my mission statement, and it is something that I try to update and write like on my mirror every day. And it really boils down to how can I be selfless and send love out into the universe and selflessly help other individuals one at a time. And if you're focusing on just influencing and helping an individual at a time, then that adds up over time and you're going to make monumental change and impact in the world.
Yes. I love throwing in that monumental in there.
Yeah.
Do you have any daily habits or morning rituals? I know we talked about Miracle Morning.
I think the meditation one is the most important for me. So journaling, affirmations, meditation, reading. I've been trying to be better about exercise because I can only do ab and arm workouts right now because of my foot. But it's, you know, it's like having the attitude of if something's going wrong, you know, how can I still make up for it and still do the things that I'm capable of? So exercise is another one. And just fostering an attitude of gratitude. Oh, that rhymed. An attitude of gratitude, whether that's writing things down that you're grateful for or writing a thank you note every day. Those are a few of, I think, the most important ones for me.
Yes, I love that. So what about your favorite book or book you're currently reading?
Yes, I knew this question was coming and it's very difficult. I'll say for my favorite fiction book, it is 1,000 Splendid Suns. That's written by the author that wrote The Kite Runner. It's a really beautiful story. And then nonfiction, I would say The Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco is really eye-opening.
I love it. I love how you threw in fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah. I can't pick just one.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I really appreciate you coming on today. Tremendous value. I love your story. I love what you're doing. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of this as far as, you know, building, you know, creating a book, creating a brand, helping add value, financial literacy, financial freedom, mindset, attitude of gratitude. So many things we dove into today. So I really appreciate you for that. And how can our monumental listeners connect with you or reach out to you?
Yeah. So they can follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If they just search Money Honey Rachel, they can follow me. And then both of my books are on sale on Amazon. And I just came out with the audiobook version for Passive Income, Aggressive Retirement. And the audiobook version for Money Honey is about to come out by the end of January. So you can buy things on Amazon. You can follow me anywhere on social media.
That's awesome. Did you read the book for the audio version?
No, I had a narrator do it. I considered doing it, but it was just a time constraint for me.
Yeah.
But she did an amazing job. She did a better job than I would have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, guys, take Rachel up on this. She's adding tremendous value. Check out her books. Check out on audio and on Amazon. And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to tag Rachel, Money Honey Rachel, tag me, Evan Holiday, and share it on social media. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoyed today's episode. And also, don't forget to go to iTunes and review. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. And with that, have a monumental day.